everyone, and welcome to the Dribble Podcast, your home for basketball in WA, with an inside look at the Perth Wildcats, Perth Lynx, and WA basketball throughout the 2021-22 seasons. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout the year, I'm being joined by a host of guests to provide you with as much insight and entertainment as your basketball brain can handle. In this episode, we're being joined by the man Sports Entertainment Group has leading their integration into life as owners of the Perth Wildcats, Richard Simkus, amid their extraordinary start to life on the road, and Perth Lynx General Manager Brent Dawkins will take us inside the negotiations which led to Sammy Whitcomb rejoining the club. He'll also provide a fixture update ahead of their move interstate to start the season. But hasn't it been an amazing week since we last recorded the Dribble? We've seen a cheating scandal involving a coach and referee in the WNBL. We've seen the Lynx sign an Australian basketball superstar on Christmas Day. Our guest last week, Trevor Gleeson, was at the Toronto Raptors and part of a 45-point drubbing after they lost their entire starting five due to COVID. And then the Wildcats left the relative safety of WA to start life on the road and had two games cancelled within 24 hours. And that's where we start today. Richard Simkus is the CEO of Ballpark, Rainmaker and Publishing at SEN, and he's also in charge of their Wildcats portfolio. Richard, welcome to the Dribble Podcast.
G'day, Craig. Thanks for having me.
It's certainly been a hectic couple of days. When we locked in this interview last week, you were excited about flying to South Australia to watch this team play in person for the first time since SEG took over as owners. When did you first learn that the game was in jeopardy against the 36ers?
Yeah, that's correct. It's been a long time post-acquisition, some 6 months, and having not been able to set foot in WA during that period of time, it was a long-awaited opportunity to see them live in Adelaide, and it was probably some 24 hours prior to the cancellation that we first got a bit of a heads up that it was under some stress, and then late on the night before last, with confirmation that yesterday morning the game was going to be postponed. So still we await to get over there and see the guys play live.
So what does that do from an ownership perspective? Does it just, are you spinning a little bit, especially around Christmas time when it's public holidays and stuff? How many phone calls are going on between all you guys to try to work out what's going on?
Yeah, it's we're spread across three different time zones at the moment. Our general manager of basketball, Danny Mills, has just ducked back home to Philly to bring his family back to Perth to live finally. So Danny's operating across the US. CEO of the club, Troy Giorgio, is obviously staying put in Perth, and ourselves as owners operating here out of Melbourne. So, there's some late night phone calls right across the globe, juggling everything, and that's pretty much how things have been operating kind of post-acquisition in July.
So we've already seen a New Year's Day game against Brisbane also called off, but the league has rescheduled and you'll now play Cairns New Year's Eve. How's the group reacting to all of the changes, given that they were nervous about going away already, given that we're in a pretty good COVID environment and they're moving to one where it wasn't as safe? What's been their reaction so far?
I think they're handling things really well, Craig. I think there's the reality that we were going to be on the road for a period of time, call it 4 to 5 weeks of on the road at the very least. So whilst it was disruptive to not have a game in Adelaide, at the end of the day, they're prepared for a period on the road, and I guess remaining completely flexible during this period, as it's inevitable that there's going to be more and more disruption, and trying to stay calm and composed during that period. That no doubt, I think the team that can deal with that the best on the road over the next few months ahead is going to be probably the ones to beat.
So when you look at it, it's amazing that the NBL only released their COVID protocol rules on December 1, and that was designed to sign players on short-term contracts to keep games going once players tested positive or were unavailable due to being a close contact or a casual contact. And that's working in the NBA, but we haven't had a single game yet where a short-term contract has been signed because the entire team has been put out under various state government regulations. Do you think it's now clear that these rules aren't going to work because the state governments aren't going to allow it to happen?
Yeah, I think it's certainly going to be an interesting couple of months ahead in the various different rules across the states. It does make it operationally challenging, and the rate at which this variant, I guess, is travelling through society as a whole, but then teams and not just the NBL. We're seeing it across every sport, you know, and only very small numbers on the roster. It's going to make it very challenging over the next couple of months ahead, that's for sure.
Were you initially confident that the short-term contract situation would work?
Remaining open-minded to it, I guess, Craig, is probably the best summary of that. Danny and Scott are obviously running kind of, you know, the specifics of the basketball roster and how we build and how we continue to evolve that. So remaining open-minded and flexible to what I'm sure is going to continue to be a changing operating landscape.
It's a really interesting time when we look at things from over here, where it's such a different world to what you've been living for the past couple of years. But, and even Scott Morrison over here said, you know, it's strange that we're leaving the safety of WA to go to the wildfire that is COVID interstate. Do you look at it at all and think the league erred in sending the Wildcats to the eastern states rather than bringing teams over here, having the quarantine situation, but then being able to play with safety and surety? What's your thoughts now on whether more basketball should be in Perth right now?
Well, I mean, selfishly, we'd love that to be the case. I mean, we're fully supportive and completely behind the NBL in the challenges that they have. It's an incredibly difficult landscape to operate in. The reality of, you know, Western Australia at the moment is, you know, it's going to be very difficult to get teams in and fixture games in WA. So, you know, we were well aware of that and have been for some period of time, and supportive of the structure of the fixture that was in place. And the NBL were great working with us to get, you know, a good chunk of games away early. Well, we could have teams come in, clean teams come in. So to have been able to do that through, you know, the start of the season into December now was really successful for us. The reality is now we face a period of time on the road. We hope that's only probably a 4 to 5 week period, and hopefully at that stage, the WA border is opened up and there's free travel into WA, and we can get teams in and fixture a good run home. And if we've been successful and resilient through the next month or so on the road, which will be challenging and will have complications and cancellations and postponements, then on an encore perspective, we should come home really strong with a good bunch of home games to finish off the season and into the playoffs.
There's so many differing approaches to COVID across all the states, and there's dramatically different case numbers in every state as well. New South Wales seems just out of control today with the 11,000. It's just a mind-blowing number. But you were planning on, the team was planning on being based in Tassie. Is that still the plan? And now that you're seeing all of the different real-world scenarios, why Tassie, why was that chosen? Why is it still the best plan?
To date, as it stands at the moment, Craig, that's still the plan. But what it looks like tomorrow could be different again. In terms of, it's probably one of the safest states at the moment now to be housed out of. So that was as of, you know, probably a week ago, I think, from memory, we were given the heads up that was likely to be the scenario. And then travelling from there, based out of there, obviously great facilities down there now that have been built and easy for the team to be based out of there and moving around. But the league are encouraging all teams, everyone's going to be remaining on their toes during this period of time, and I don't think we can say with any certainty that anything's going to continue to be the case beyond tomorrow.
So when you look at the team right now, you mentioned Danny Mills not being there because he'll be coming back from Philly, and Troy Georgiou's over here, and you're in Melbourne. Are you going to get an extra body up there or wherever the team is, up there, over there, down there, whichever state they end up in, to help with the management side of things, given that Danny isn't able to be there until he gets back and goes through whatever situation he has to go through to get his family settled in WA?
You know, well, luckily that's been a pretty smooth transition back for Danny. So he's due back, or the family are due back in the country tomorrow, and he'll be joining the team straight away post that, wherever that should be, Tassie, I suspect. But yeah, I mean, during the off season, it's obviously been a significant period of change, both from a playing roster point of view, but also, you know, the other supportive roles around. So, Scott's really well supported there, you know, with associate head coach Mike Kelly and all of the other coaching staff around, and myself and Troy are continually in touch with Scott and the rest of the support team in and around them.
And how are you managing the families while the player's away? There's only one person who's taken his partner with him, and that's Matt Hodgson, who's taken his wife and three-week-old baby. So they're in for a bit of a challenge, it's fair to say. I don't envy that situation while being on the road. But how are you managing the ones who are back over here?
No, it's absolutely probably the hardest part of it, for the guys to be away for that period of time, away from loved ones and wives and partners and their children. I know Scott's wife and Danny's wife are working with a number of the other wives and partners to put some functions in place and get around each other and watch all the games when and wherever they may be, and ensure there's a good support network for everyone who's sadly left behind in WA while the guys are on the road during this stretch.
Team started really well, haven't they? 4-1 start of the season was ideal in Perth, and Bryce Cotton has been absolutely outstanding as per usual. And I'm sure you're hanging out to see Bryce play live, and Wildcats fans should check out the double page feature on Bryce both online and in the December 29 edition of the West Australian. It's Wednesday, obviously, depending on when you're listening to this. That's part of our series on the 2021 WA Athletes of the Year. When do you think you'll actually get to see the team live now?
Hopefully, I plan will probably be to get down to Tassie for a game in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, Craig. That's the plan. Can't wait to see all of them live. Danny and Scott have done an incredible job building, what looks like on paper, certainly one of the strongest rosters across the competition. So, starting to see some really good signs of Bryce and Vic combining together, and Michael Fraser looks like he's going to be a superb player for us, and obviously we can't wait to get back a few of the injured boys, whilst it's not ideal having a few of these games cancelled, it certainly does give us a little bit of rest and recuperation time for a couple of the guys that are close in getting back.
Certainly been an interesting 6 months for you guys as owners. Describe your role within Sports Entertainment Group and your role as part of the integration with the Wildcats.
Sure. So, I look after a few of the verticals of our broader business, our production business, Rainmaker, our sports marketing arm, Ballpark, run our publishing business, and then also oversee sort of our team ownership and rights representation arm, of which the Perth Wildcats is now proudly a new addition to that. So, it's been a wonderful transition into our business. We're now probably 6 months or tick over through that period. The club obviously is an incredibly well-run organisation, and we've been involved in and around basketball for probably 4 years or so now as a business, and have long admired what Jack and Troy and the rest of the Wildcats franchise have built over that period of time. So we're here to play a complementary and support role to transition that into our broader business. We've continued to run and operate it similar to how it has been run in the past, and respectful to all the wonderful things the Wildcats have done over the time. But it's a huge opportunity ahead to integrate that into a broader sports media business, and for a number of executives within our business to help support that, and to complement that and continue to evolve the club both on and off the court. It's been one of the most successful franchises in sports history across any sport here in Australia, and run really well off court as well too. But we think as part of our broader business, there's a whole series of incremental opportunities we can build on and deliver for the Wildcats, not only here but internationally as well too over time.
So with such a big business model, basketball teams, radio stations, TV productions, sporting events, what happens if a section of your business is struggling financially with the COVID situation like it is now? Does that impact upon the money that you can spend on the Wildcats, or are they broken off into a different segment altogether and they're managed as they were previously as a basketball club, or is it basketball club integrated into the radio station and everything else, and money has to come from all different parts?
It's a really good question, Craig. I think diversification of the business has probably been our friend through the last 18, 18 months, 2 years. There's been times and periods there where some of the verticals, you know, have been more challenged by COVID. Take our publishing business, the AFL Record that we own and produce, you know, with no fans at venues across large parts of, you know, both of the last two seasons. You know, running a business like that has proved challenging. Our sports marketing ballpark that does a lot of events and experiential and activation trips and travel, etc. That's obviously been really impacted during that period. But conversely, Rainmaker, our production business, has thrived, had its biggest 2 years ever, and expanded significantly in both live sport production, but then more broadly content creation. So having the diversification absolutely helps. Our job and the integration of the Wildcats into our business is to make sure that we're building, you know, a long-term, really financially viable club, and continue to broaden, I guess, the economics and the commercialisation of that outside of the traditional revenue streams attached to a basketball club, just to safeguard against things like COVID or, you know, whatever the next challenge might be. We think as part of a diversified sports media business and continuing to, you know, invest into new areas and create more content, deliver more engagement with fans and, you know, the brands that we're fortunate enough to work with, and attaching them to that audience, we see, you know, significant incremental opportunity to keep growing the brand on and off the court.
So SCG also bought the Otago Nuggets in New Zealand, and you still have that very small investment in Melbourne United. Are you done? Is there more teams to come, or when does the buying of sporting teams stop? Well, you've obviously got a strategy here. Where are you sitting in terms of investing in anyone else?
No, I'd never say we're done, Craig. One of the things I've learnt working with Hutchie over the period of time is just when you start to get comfortable and things might be relatively normal, we'll flip and change again. So, no, it's absolutely part of a longer-term acquisition and growth strategy of the business. Rights representation or team ownership and integrating that into our media business and helping tell the story of those sports brands is core of what we do. So, the Wildcats has been a great beachhead strategy for us into WA and supporting our media business and local media business over there in Western Australia. The Nuggets, whilst very early signs over there in New Zealand and yet to obviously head in the season proper, looks like it's going to be wonderful for us over there in the Otago region in New Zealand. And there's multiple other things that are bubbling along. We're always on the lookout, not just in basketball, but, yeah, potentially across other sports as well too.
So that's how big you're trying to become, isn't it? You want to become a more than just the radio segment that you initially were. You wanted to become more of an ownership in an entire sports strategy, I think Hutchie refers to it as. So you could branch out to America, buy teams over there. You could branch out and buy more different sports in Australia. It seems like you're determined to become as big an organisation as possible.
Yeah, well, we're absolutely a multi-platform business. It's born out of radio originally, but we're a huge national and international footprint now across a multitude of different platforms. That's radio, that's digital, it's TV, it's print, it's stadium signage, and it's team ownership and rights representation. So, and that varies from owning a team in totality, like the Wildcats and the Nuggets. We still, as you mentioned, own a small minority share of Melbourne United, but represent the commercial rights. We do that similarly for Bowls Australia as well too, where we represent their commercial rights into the market. So certainly being able to represent sports sponsorship assets across a diversified platform and a multitude of different sports really sort of works well for us. And ultimately, as a business, we're about delivering, maximum choice and opportunity for our fans to consume as much sports content as they can, when and how they choose it across a multitude of different platforms. And if there's teams that we can own or represent and then ultimately increase and create more content and engagement out of it, fueling sort of broader sports consumption across our networks, then that's kind of the sweet spot for us.
Are you able to share IP, or it might be better to say personnel or staff, between the Wildcats, obviously the big brother of the Nuggets? Do you guys help, do the Wildcats help the Nuggets in any way? Is there a chance that players, development players or younger guys who you're trialling might go over there in the off season to see how they perform, and Scott talk to their coach and see how they're going and work on different ways to improve them before they can come back to the NBL?
Yeah, that's absolutely part of the strategy, Craig. Danny was incredibly excited when we first mentioned the opportunity to him, and he got involved in the early part of the conversations over there. Certainly, you know, over time, when hopefully travel's a little bit more normalised and the competitions not overlapping each other, the opportunity to, you know, potentially utilise players across both competitions, or get a look at a potential development player for the Wildcats over in what is a really strong competition over there. Yeah, we think it provides great opportunity both for playing roster, but also opportunity for, you know, coaching staff and administration across both of the clubs. So that's definitely something we'll be exploring over time.
Certainly a different process that you're following. It's going to be really exciting to see how it goes. And when you talk about exciting, are you going to the Super Bowl in February? Ballpark Entertainment is sending a touring squad over there again. Do you get a gig in that?
Fingers crossed, Craig. Yeah, we sadly missed last year due to COVID. But yeah, it's a big part of what Ballpark does. We take a lot of international trips and tour programs, which, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, that part of the business obviously has been hampered in the last 18 months. But no, we've got a good group already locked in to go to LA. So, yeah, hotels secured and game tickets secured in what's going to be an unbelievable Super Bowl at the new LA stadium. So at this point in time, subject to COVID and travel restrictions at the day, then, yeah, hopefully we'll be over there in LA for the 13th of Feb.
Is that as epic as it sounds?
Oh, Super Bowls are pretty amazing. Yeah, I've been very lucky to have been to a number. And in terms of global sporting events, it's as good as it gets, Craig. And LA, Super Bowl in LA, having you know, the world being slowed down for a period of time, you only have to look at Super Bowl pricing at the moment to understand that it's going to be one of the hottest sports tickets on the globe come early February next year over in LA.
That sounds quite amazing. That would be epic to go to. Now, we have a segment on The Dribble called This or That. You can't sit on the fence. You have to give a clear answer to a question. And the question this week is that now that we're seeing the challenges for sports, what's better? Is it the safe and proven hub model with all teams playing in the one spot and it basically being a TV season? Or is it better to be travelling the country, playing in front of home crowds and just copying the heaps of interruptions? What do you think is the best model, the proven hub model or the copying interruptions but playing in front of home crowds?
Can we have the hub model in WA with local crowds only for option? But acknowledging that that's probably going to be too difficult. I mean, certainly we have seen during, you know, COVID-affected seasons the impact of no crowds in venue. So, you know, sports fans are what makes our live sporting events so amazing, both to watch, you know, in person at the venue, but also on the broadcast on TV. So acknowledging, you know, disruptions and postponements, a more normalised season of home and away venues where each team can play in front of their home crowd would be the absolute preference.
Brilliant. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us on the Dribble podcast. You've given Wildcats fans a fantastic insight into what's happening both at the moment as they attempt to get their life started on the road and also where the future is for the club. So we really appreciate your time. Hopefully you get to go and watch them play live shortly, and hopefully things continue to go well for the company and for the club. So thank you very much, Richard Simkus, for joining us.
Many thanks, Craig, and thanks for all your wonderful support throughout the season.
And now it's time to enter the lair, and there is absolutely no doubt that the Perth Lynx got exactly what they wanted from Santa. They didn't ask for much. All they wanted was a dual WNBA championship winner, and when they looked under the tree on Christmas morning, this is what they found.
Brianna Whitcomb at the buzzer for three. There it is! Sammy Whitcomb! Here Whitcomb, freed in the corner! Left in regulation, driving baseline, kick it back. Who left Sammy Whitcomb open?
Yes, after months of wrangling, in the words of the Immortal Rock, finally, Sammy Whitcomb has come back to Perth Lynx. And the man who is at the centre of all the wrangling and has his fingerprints all over everything that is as good a WNBL roster as we have seen in Perth for a long time is the Lynx general manager, Brent Dawkins. Brent, welcome to the Dribble Podcast.
Thanks very much, Craig, and it's great to be here.
So, firstly, tell us a bit about what was going on and how much of a relief it was to get Sammy's contract sorted.
Definitely a relief to get it sorted prior to our first game on the road. And it sort of was the last piece of our roster. It sort of came out of the blue, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, and reached out to us, and Sammy was keen to come back to Perth, and we were keen, obviously, to have him on our roster, and it's finally a relief after sort of 2 or 3 months to get it done right on Christmas Day, which was perfect timing.
So take us into the negotiations in France. She obviously signed to play back in May and then told them in about September that, or at least it was publicly announced in France in September, that she had a change in family situation, which was her wife getting a job back in Perth. What was the sticking point that you had to work through to get them to release her?
Yeah, now obviously Sam had agreed to play in France for a French team, and the deal had to be obviously worked through, and it doesn't happen quickly, as you can imagine. And it was virtually a buyout figure of at the end of getting out of her contract in France and playing, as I said, close by her partner here in Perth. And the fit was fantastic, and it happened just in time before our first game.
So was it a negotiation over that figure, or were they just saying, this is what it needs to be and you need to pay us or else she's not coming out?
Yeah, no, it's just a negotiation. I think in the end it was going to happen. It's just about, you know, getting the right deal for everyone. And then, as I said, it's great to have Sammy on board now. So, can't rush these things, as you can understand, and I'm rapt to have her on board at this late stage before the season starts.
When she left Perth, she was arguably the best player in the comp, and she returned significantly better than what she was back then. You weren't around in basketball at the time, so technically you're a fresh set of eyes. What makes you say wow when you watch her train at the moment?
Look, I've seen, as you know, Craig, I've been involved in sport for sort of over 20 years now in Perth, and watched a lot of people train and a lot of people play at the elite level and the professional level. And people talked about Sam's work ethic and her training ethic, and she's up there with as anyone else I've ever seen. She's unbelievable the hours she puts in, even at her level at the moment. And it's a credit to her, and the young girls around her actually just feed off that as well, just to see how hard she works. And yeah, she's fantastic in that and gets everything out of herself, which is a credit to herself.
The roster is absolutely stacked, and it's come at a really interesting time for the league. The WNBL announced a salary cap in May, which was $420,000. But there are obviously opportunities within that to pay players as marquee players, and you can exceed it and pay a luxury tax. At the time, you said you'd be a middle-of-the-rung team. Has that changed as you put this together? And have you now paid more than what you would have expected? Are you still around the same budget you were looking at?
Yeah, around about the same budget. Not much more, to be honest. And Sammy realises that she came in late into the putting the roster together, so she understood that side of things. And there was a big emphasis on her just to play in Perth. So, we wanted to do the best thing by both parties. But, we're around about the same figure as what we said pre-season. So, we're not right at the top end, and we're not right at the bottom as well. So we'd be middle of the run.
So did you sense with Sammy that given last year she wanted to play in Perth and the family situation got in the way of that, given the hub set up in Queensland just after her son's birth, did you sense that the opportunity to come back and play where she'd wanted to play for a while now and get back in front of family and friends, was that the real thing that made her say, yep, I can take less, I just want to play here?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, you don't want to shortchange a player either, especially someone of Sammy's quality. She's got a close connection to Coach Ryan Petrick as well. So there's a really nice fit there between those two. And I think, she really wanted to play under Ryan. And unfortunately, that didn't happen last year. And I think it all fell into place. And she saw the roster that we had put together. And I think she was excited to jump on board that, that's for sure.
You've done a brilliant job with the recruiting. You've got the two star imports in Marina Mabry and Jackie Young. You've obviously got Whitcomb and Lauren Scherf arriving as well. And you've got got a big background in recruiting, which I would imagine helped to get these deals done. Take the listeners through your previous life at the Fremantle Football Club and how that experience has helped you to build this list.
Yeah, look, totally different sport. Obviously, I mean, I was at the Dockers for 9 years in recruiting, based here in WA, and then moved into football operations, and then moved across to basketball. And although it's a different sport completely, the same sort of ideas and that come across with stakeholders, etc. But as far as the recruiting and the talent identification from a basketball perspective, the majority of credit needs to go probably to Ryan Petrick in regards to that. He's got the basketball eye, and Keegan Crawford, who's now at the Wildcats. He was initially our assistant coach. So, you know, nearly on 6 months ago now, we sat down in the room, myself, Ryan and Keegan, and went through an amazing list of a number of basketballs all around the world, Australia, international, and we started from there. And a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of dealing with different time zones, especially with agents in America and Europe. Different sports, but dealing with agents, dealing with managers, it was similar in that regard. But as far as on the court and the talent of the girls, I left that to the coaches. They're the experts in that area, and they said, look, we think X, Y, B, and C, they're worth following up, then I take it from there and we go from there.
So when you're putting the list together, how do you manage to make sure that you've got all of the pieces at the right in the right order that you've got to get them in and at the right time with other clubs trying to get them around the world? Like, how did you manage to piece it all together?
Yeah, well, obviously we're based here in Perth, and we're still a big emphasis on WA athletes. Darcy Garvin was probably one of our first pieces that we wanted to get in place. You know, WA athlete, an Australian Opal, a tall, which are hard to find. So with her, and then we went with Lauren Scherf, another tall, another Australian Opal. It then gives us more flexibility to find some guards internationally. The talls are the ones that are more difficult to find, and if you try and find a tall from overseas, usually you're playing above the odds. It's a bit like the old money ball situation. So there is a lot of guards internationally, and so that was the method we went through. We went through with trying to lock away a couple of talls first, then get some WA flavour definitely into our team, and then finish it off with at what we thought at that time was going to be two, I guess, international imports as guards. Sammy came along and made that three, which is a bonus for us. But that was pretty much our philosophy and how we went about putting the list together. And it is a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight, as you can imagine. Lots of phone calls and lots of toing and froing. But, now that the girls are about to jump on a plane, I can finally get a couple of nights' sleep, which would be nice.
So Jackie and Marina are former teammates and championship winners at Notre Dame, and were both drafted in the same draft, Jackie at number one, Marina at number 19. Is it a coincidence that you went for some players who are not only known to each other but the same age and the same level of experience in the WNBA? Is there a hitting point that you want to aim at when you're trying to put this sort of a list together?
Yeah, it's not a coincidence. Obviously, that helps. But it's a bit like football as well. You try and get the best player, especially early on, and then if it does fit, on the back of that, their synergy and their time together, especially moving to the other side of the world, really helps out as well. So, you know, it was a really nice fit to have two ex Notre Dame players and Jackie and Marina come on board. So that was nice.
Jackie won a gold medal for America at the 3x3 in the Olympics, and Marina got votes at the WNBA Most Improved Award this year. So it feels like it's been breakout years for both of them. Did you sense that was coming when you signed them, given that you signed them before these achievements occurred?
Yeah, that was... It's, as I said, referencing Moneyball again, and it's one of my favourite movies, and it's trying to predict the future in any draft and in any recruiting thing. That doesn't always work out, as you well know, but trying to get them and predict that they're going to have great seasons. You know, Jackie, once again, another fantastic season with Las Vegas, and then got the call-up late to the Olympics team, which was great, and then Marina, a breakout season as well. So, so far so good, and everything sort of ticked the boxes, and it's happy days.
There was someone who is going through the ranks when you were at Fremantle, who everyone was hoping might turn into someone, and he became pretty good too in terms of a bargain basement sort of a selection at the right age, and that was Matthew Pavlich. So you'd be quite happy if you get some Matthew Pavlich out of Marina Mabry and Jackie Young this year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if we could grab a Pav and a Lee Brown out of that draft and a Paul Hazelby, then we'd be more than happy with that, I think, at the end of the season. So, very similar, mate, that's for sure.
You had both your imports at your house on Christmas Day. How'd they enjoy the 43 degrees?
Yeah, they loved it. Luckily, we got a pool, and they spent some time in the pool, and we just thought it was a good chance to, obviously being away from their family, to invite them around and enjoy the seafood dinner, the seafood lunch, and showing them a little bit about the Australian Christmas compared to an American Christmas. So, look, they had a great day, and I'm sure they thoroughly enjoyed it.
You mentioned Scherf earlier. How important was it to get someone her age, 25, with that size, athleticism, championship experience? Feels like she's just about to hit her peak.
Yeah, look, Lauren's fantastic and has been fantastic all pre-season. As you said, fits the right age demographic as well. And a lot of our girls do on our list, to be honest. If you actually look at our age demographic along the list, we're all around that 23, 24, 25 age bracket. And then obviously Sammy on top of that. But yeah, really important. She's had a fantastic interrupted season, I guess, in the NBL One South with Kilsyth. Was their best and fairest MVP player and come across, and she's really adapted to the WA lifestyle and has fitted in really well and is really great for the team. And as I said, she's been named in the Opal squad as well for the February games. And it's a fantastic effort by her, that's for sure.
You got four Opals technically, I suppose, and one of them is a WNBA player. So if we say three WNBA players and three Opals, it's a fair squad. You're going to say that you're going to take it one game at a time, but this is a squad that's been built to be really active at the business end of the season, isn't it?
Oh, look, I am going to say it's going to be one game at a time, but, you know, we've just got to get on the plane on Friday and then, look, the girls are just can't wait to actually play a game of basketball. They've had an extended preseason. A lot of the other teams have been playing for a month already. So they're really keen to play that first game against Adelaide. But as far as the squad, look, yeah, absolutely. We're on paper, it looks a strong team. But as I said, many, many strong teams on papers have failed to deliver when the games, you know, the ball gets thrown up, that's for sure. But we will take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and hopefully get the win against Adelaide on Sunday.
How have you found the pre-season practice matches you've been playing behind closed doors? What have you got out of those so far?
Yeah, they're really good, actually. Very difficult. Obviously, we can't play against any other teams, you know, from interstate, so it makes it a little bit different. So we had to do a bit of a mixed team of NBL One West boys and girls, or men and women. So that was good, just to make the games as competitive as possible. But as with all preseason games, and they don't, it's hard until you actually get out there and you play the first proper game, and that's when everyone goes 100%. So yeah, we had our last game today, and one more training session on Thursday, and then we're on the road on Friday morning. So girls can't wait.
So it's been a dramatic week for sports throughout the entire country, with basketball and soccer and footy and cricket impacted by COVID-19. You're going to sit up in Adelaide for your first game on Jan 2, and we know that they've got some pretty tight rules around what's considered a close contact and what the rules are if anyone gets any COVID problems there. And then you go to Victoria, where you'll sit up in Ballarat. So when you look at it, how are you going to try to avoid the COVID situation in South Australia firstly, and then in Ballarat, which has got about 90 cases at the moment?
Yeah, it's just being smart, I think, Craig, and you know, just telling the girls that, you know, just don't put yourself into any situations as best as you can. You know, obviously they can't be stuck in a hotel room for, you know, for the entire month, and that's not going to work either. So you can't do that for their mental health side of things. But yeah, just be smart. Obviously always wear your mask, do all the COVID protocol stuff, and, you know, if you're going to go out in small groups rather than, you know, full team dinners and stuff like that. And when you can eat outside, you eat outside. So, you know, little things like that, you tell the girls. But yeah, as I said, we're short stop over in Adelaide, two nights there, and then we base ourselves in regional Victoria, which has its positives because we're not based in the middle of Melbourne, which is good. As you said, 90 cases in Ballarat. So just managing that. And as I said, take it day by day. And, you know, there was a game, I think, cancelled today between Bendigo and Sydney Flames, and I'm sure it won't be the only game that gets cancelled and has to be rescheduled in the environment that we're living in at the moment.
So if games do get cancelled around the league, not just yourself but with other ones, will you try to get more than your current six home games in Perth? There are a couple of little windows where they might be able to wedge a game in here or there around March. Is that a goal to try to get some games back if you can?
Yeah, look, just not 100% over the line, but I can give you a little bit of a scoop that looks like we've gained another home game. So there'll be seven home games we get now, which is good. So that can be confirmed in the next couple of days. So seven, yeah, we did have six, now seven. So that's a bonus for us. So we can get our away games done, obviously, in the next month. And then we get, you know, virtually seven weekends in a row of home basketball. That's going to be a nice way for us to wrap up the season. I think if we can be around the mark when we get back, then it's a nice strong finish we can have.
So what would that date be, and what's the likely opponent to be for that extra game now?
Potentially it'd be Adelaide. They did have us going back to Adelaide to play on the 17th of February. Then, but it makes a lot more sense if Adelaide come to us, considering we've already gone to Adelaide on the way over. So it would be a straight swap for us to play Adelaide here rather than we going back over to Adelaide. Didn't make a lot of sense. So that would give us 7 home games and give Adelaide 10 home games. We thought that was only a fair and a pretty easy switch.
And you'd be, that will make it a lot easier, I'd imagine, also for the players who are coming back from playing in the Opals in that small window. Just makes it everything a lot easier if you've got your own players back in Perth, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, we could potentially have, we've got 4 girls in the squad that could go and play in Serbia in that window. So, whether they all make the final team that heads over, but it does definitely make it easier to fly back into Perth from Serbia than it would be to go back over and play an away game in Adelaide.
You mentioned we're in Ballarat for a fair portion of time. You went to uni in Ballarat. I assume you're going to be taking them all to Sovereign Hill to pan for gold and do some work with the blacksmith like everyone else who's been to that town.
Yeah. No, exactly right. I'm back to my old stomping ground, so I'm a backsmash boy and went to uni in Ballarat and did a PE degree there. And I'm probably more excited than anyone to get back to Ballarat. So most of the other girls haven't been there, and definitely the American girls haven't been there. So it'll be an eye-opener for them, but at least we're not going over there in the middle of winter where we'd be having beanies and gloves on and no doubt snowing every morning. But no, look, it's a great place, and I'm sure they'll settle in well there and interact with the community, and hopefully that Ballarat jump on board us, similar to what they've done with the Western Bulldogs in the AFL. We'd love the Ballarat community to be supporting us rather than supporting Southside or Bendigo or any of the other teams that have come down to play us in Ballarat. So we're gonna make that a big focus and try and get the crowd behind us and sort of our second home fans across there in Victoria.
Now, we have a segment on the Dribble podcast called This or That. You can't sit on the fence. You have to give us a genuine answer, unlike your 1 week at a time. Now, the question you're asking this week is, we're seeing the challenges for sport throughout COVID. And what do you think is a better model? Is it the safe and proven hub model where all teams go to one spot and it becomes a TV event? Or is it better to have teams still travelling the country, playing in front of home crowds and just copying the interruptions as they go?
Definitely the second for me. I still think it's real important for from a sponsorship point of view from each of the individual clubs to try and get those home games. But not only just the sponsors, but also our fans. So, yeah, our fans here haven't watched our girls play for near on 2 years by the time they get back. So just to have that fan engagement. And then we play it game by game once we get into that. So if there is one game needs to be rescheduled, we take it on the chin and we move forward and we look towards the next game. So from my point of view, definitely trying to adapt on the road as much as we can.
Well, look, thank you very much for joining us, Brent. The Lynx kick off their season on Sunday against the Adelaide Lightning. We hope things go extremely well for you and it becomes the powerful season that you hope your team can produce.
Thanks very much, Craig. And once again, thanks so much for the support. And the girls are raring to go, looking forward to get on the court, but also really looking forward to get back and playing here in Perth as well in the new year. That'd be great.
So remember, everybody, keep logging on to thewest.com.au for all your basketball news. Pick up your copy of The West Australian to stay updated with all the constant changes that are occurring during COVID. Lynx fans should keep an eye out for our big season preview, which will give you a rundown of every player on the roster ahead of the opening game. Thank you to Samantha Rogers for all of her production. Thanks to Richard Simkus from the Wildcats and Brent Dawkins from the Lynx for being our guests. And a shout out to Wildcats fan Chris Mallinson, who has been a wonderful supporter of this podcast so far. Have a great New Year's Eve, everyone. We'll be back for more with the Dribble podcast when it's 2022.